think he'd be very good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati.
I'll talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and I promise phones are working tonight, guys. And we'll be here till about 8 o'clock or so. Tonight, we are going to talk about Fury and Wilder 3, maybe pushed back all the way till February 2021, and we'll tell you why. And, Beeb, I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the big fight tonight. Mike Tyson fights a shark. More on that later. But first, we get started with Fox Sports, Jamal James versus Thomas DeLorme. Friend of the show, Jamal James beats Thomas DeLorme via unanimous decision by the scores of 115-113, 116-112, and 117-111. You know, I got to be honest, man, I was really surprised at Thomas DeLorme in this fight, man. I fully expected James to really just, quite honestly, run right through him, man. I didn't expect DeLorme to hang in there like he did. I didn't expect him to be as competitive as he was. This was a competitive fight. I thought it was throughout competitive. The rounds were close to me, you know, but DeLorme just wasn't winning him. He wasn't doing enough. He would come on strong, and then he'd get tagged, get in trouble. James at one point looked like he threw a 12-punch combination or something like that. I think it was in the sixth round or something like that. But listen, man, Jamal James, we know. I mean, he's a handful. He's a handful for anybody. I didn't think that way about Thomas DeLorme, man. I really didn't. But I'll be honest, man, he really surprised me. He really surprised me. He did very well in this fight, man. Jamal James is now the WBA interim champ, which means just about as much as these two belts I have behind me. Beeb, give me your thoughts on this. Give me your thoughts on the fight, and then give me your thought on the belts. I mean, the WBA interim belt and really what that means.
Well, the odds were close for this fight, believe it or not. So on paper, this was supposed to be a close fight. I thought James would win handily myself, even though the odds reflected otherwise. I thought in the beginning, as you said, after five rounds, I had DeLorme up 3-2. And then I had James just taken over from the sixth round on. But, you know, DeLorme was still there. The story of this fight wasn't really hard to figure out. From a distance, James had him, and up close, DeLorme had opportunities. One thing that disturbed me a little bit in this fight early on was how James really didn't look good when DeLorme got up close. He had no answers for the inside game. I didn't like the positioning. I didn't like how he was going like this. And he was, again, not becoming compact, not tucking in the chin, not becoming small when you're up close. He was trying to do these, you know, the shoulder roll.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that when you're on the inside. I did not like that. And he was trying to roll away from shots and stuff and just pull back, lean back away. And that's why he was getting tagged, because DeLorme knows how to step around you and create the angles for himself. He's a very seasoned pro. But as the fight went on, I liked how James was sliding, you know, taking that half step back, making that subtle step backward to force DeLorme to have to keep coming forward and reset. So he wouldn't just sit in there and allow DeLorme to throw punches and try to slip him. He was moving back and stepping off to the side. He was creating a little bit of space for himself. And when DeLorme was trying to, you know, get off first, James started punching with him, and he started going up, you know, up underneath, And he really started threading the needle, as Joe Goosen said. James is really an accurate puncher. He's really good at placing his shots well. It's just, you know, he's got to get into the sweet spot where he's most effective, because he's not really good at shortening up shots. You know, he's a little bit, as Teddy Atlas says, fat when he's on the inside. He's really wide and loops those body shots on the inside. And for him to really generate power, he likes to get full extension on the punch and really turn it over. So that's why he's just more effective from a distance. So, again, he was able to make that little subtle step back. Delorme started fading a little bit because James was landing some good body shots.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you think it was more because, like I said, the first five rounds, first six rounds,
yeah,
fairly competitive, and you could definitely point the arrow to Delorme.
Yeah.
That being said, though, as it went on, I think that fatigue, you know, to me anyway, I thought that fatigue may have played a role in that.
Well, James started making a commitment to the body, and not only that, he wasn't trying to counter punch as much. He was punching with Delorme. So as soon as he saw Delorme try to get off, he would punch with him.
Yeah.
Early on, he was waiting on him a little bit. But once he started getting the timing down and getting a rhythm for what Delorme was doing and started punching with him, he was actually beating him to the punch. And his punches were having more of an effect, too, on Delorme. Delorme was really the worst for wear as this fight wore on. You could see that, definitely. But I think James made that adjustment in the second half. But again, I just don't like that body positioning that he displayed when Delorme was up close. I think against a guy like Porter, even a guy like Spence, guys who are very skilled on the inside, you can't position your body and your hands like that against a seasoned fighter. Not that Delorme wasn't, but just Delorme just doesn't have the firepower and the aggression that those guys have, you know. But Delorme faded down the stretch, which he tended to do. But one surprising thing that I've been critical of Delorme that he proved me wrong in this fight was he showed some durability in this fight.
Yeah.
You know, because James is a decent puncher as well. He took some good shots.
Didn't expect it. Like I said, man, didn't expect it.
Delorme always comes to fight. Even against Crawford, he had his moments. He has his moments against everybody, win, lose, or draw. He's a professional through and through. And,
solid.
And yeah, he's a totally solid fighter, and no one really steamrolls him. He makes his presence known in every fight that he's in.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Salute to Alex T. Thank you so much, brother. And Alex T. says, thank you, Al Haymon. So there you go. How about that?
Robbie already got a stimulus check. So
he got his. Oh, stop it.
He already got a stimulus check.
Oh,
we are
come
not
on,
funding.
Babe.
We are not funding Robbie. Okay?
Oh, stop it. He's got a family. What's the matter with you?
We have our COVID money. We got to keep the lights on in here. I got a new mic here. This thing cost a pretty penny.
It was a pretty penny, too.
It was a pretty penny, all right?
Yeah.
Working on getting a mixer. Keep the Alex T, keep the money coming if you could.
That's right. Keep it coming.
Join because, you know, we're handing out T-shirts to the fans. We're doing everything we can on this channel.
Yeah, what about that?
Eric,
if you guys offer stuff. I got a new office. I got the belts hanging, the straps hanging beside me. I mean, you know, we need to keep that rolling, baby. That's how we get it here. All right. You know what? Let me ask you a question. Let me just go back to that fight for one second here. He was doing that shoulder roll on the inside. Do you know anybody? I mean, there are very few people can get away. There's two things. Very few people can get away with that shoulder roll anyway. All right, most people don't know how to do it properly. Very few people can get away with that shoulder roll anyway. But to do it on the inside, and especially when you're not that proficient in it, and I don't know that he really is that proficient in it. I mean, when I think of shoulder roll, I think of Mayweather Sr., Mayweather Jr., James Toney, and there's only a handful of people that do that, you know?
James Toney did it on the inside. Floyd did it very sporadically on the inside.
Yes.
A lot of times
Floyd would glove up on the inside. Yeah.
He'd glove up on the inside. Yeah. He would air muff.
Yeah. Yeah. James Toney, Khabib's hat says James Toney could roll. Absolutely. Yeah, he absolutely could. All right. Vito Milnecki. Is it Milnecki? Vito Milnecki versus Chris Rollins. Milnecki wins via TKO in the second round over Chris Rollins. Now check this out. Milnecki moves to 6-0, and he's 18 years old. He just graduated.
He just turned 18, right?
He just graduated, just turned 18, yes.
Yeah. So,
how about that? 18-6-0.
Did you think that stoppage was a bit early?
I think it was academic, to be honest with you.
It was academic, but I just thought that they should have gave that guy maybe a little bit more time. I just felt bad. Like, I don't know. It wasn't like he was gonna win the fight.
Yeah. What's the point though? You know what I'm saying? I get it. I mean, I get it. But he was getting pasted in there. There was no reason. You know.
I got you.
Fair
enough.
On the zone, as Beeb said, the fight of the weekend.
Fight of the weekend, man. Terry Harper versus Natasha Jonas. What a beautiful fight.
Now, full disclosure, I didn't watch this fight. Partially because I'm a sexist. You know, I'm a sexist pig. And
women are taking over, man. The women are taking over.
That's just how I roll, you know. But Beeb has turned a new leaf. Beeb is no longer a sexist pig. He doesn't want to be associated with me. Beeb scores on the fight. These two fought to a draw. Scores were 96-94 for Harper, 96-95 for Jonas, and 95-95. Beeb, who'd you have?
You know, I had it even going into the 10th round. And the announcers thought that Harper won the 10th round. But I had Jonas edging out that 10th round. And I thought Jonas edged it out. I had Jonas winning this fight 96-94, but it was a close fight. There were some really close swing rounds. And, you know, I thought Jonas was landing a sneaky left hand. Thought Harper, her punch of the night was the left hook. But then what was happening was Harper was pulling, as she was pulling back the left hook, she was kind of dropping her hand just a little bit. And she was leaving it out here instead of bringing it back to her chin. So she left that little space there. And Jonas was picking up on that space that was being left there for her. And she was landing some solid, solid right hooks as the fight went on. And she was making some really good deposits to the body in the second half of this fight. And you could see she had Harper rocked in the eighth round. I thought she possibly could have stopped it, but Harper recovered very well. And then she was really making, you know, some deposits and some investments in that body work. And it was taking a lot of the wind out of the sails of Harper and slowed her down. So I thought the beauty of this fight was they were really working. Both of them were working very well on the inside. And Harper was leaning on Jonas, kind of muffling her, pushing her back. But Jonas was still working. She was still moving her hands. But she started making the adjustment of kind of turning and spinning Harper and not letting her lean on her. Because when Harper was leaning on her and bodying her, she appeared to be a little bit physically stronger than Jonas. And that was kind of controlling the fight early on. And Harper was landing a beautiful, beautiful little uppercut, little 45 uppercut on the inside. So they were both doing some real crafty work on the inside. But, you know, Jonas started picking up on that left hook was coming back just a little bit slow and a little bit low. And it wasn't being brought back all the way, you know, to guard the chin. And she capitalized on that little opening that she was getting in the second half of the fight, and she rocked her with that right hook. She was landing some good left hands early on too, but the right hook was the punch that was really hurting Harper, and it opened up the body work for Jonas as well, because then Harper had to kind of guard for that hook, and then she was leaving the body open. But watching these two women work on the inside, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. This was almost like Gotti Ward, you know, how they fought each other on the inside. And people may think I'm getting carried away here, but I loved this fight yesterday. This was a phenomenal fight. This was the fight. This was the fight of the weekend by far, in my opinion. The ladies stole the show. It's a shame. I thought that Jonas won this fight though, but it was close. It was close. I can't be mad at the draw.
The two-minute rounds got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Two-minute rounds got to go, son.
And then when
you
want
to be taken seriously, get the two-minute rounds out.
That was the first thing I said to myself. When Harper got hurt, I said to myself, what if there was 3 minutes in this round, would she have had enough time to finish her? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, get it done, man. Get those two more rounds out of there. They're silly. I mean, they really are. All right, the reason I was laughing here, Beebe, I just got a text just about a minute ago from Robert. He says, tell Joe I don't need a stimulus check. I still have mine. I haven't used it. By the way, he's on the line. He'd like to comment on the fight.
Robbie, can you ever in your life take a joke, Robbie?
Boxing, thank you so much.
Eric cracks on me constantly, says things to me.
I never do.
You think I'm losing sleep? You think I'm taking Ambien to go to bed at night because of what Eric says to me? It's not happening.
He called me at 3 o'clock because of something I said to him. He called me at 3 o'clock in the morning one time. And he was like,
love you like family, Robbie. When the shit gets real, I always defend you. But the shit's not real right now. We're just fooling around.
He never defends you, Robert. I mean, in all fairness, Robert, you and I both know he never defends you. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Joe, I just wanted to be real with you and say I don't need a stimulus check.
Keeping it real with you, son.
Yeah, so there you go.
So let me ask you, when you got your stimulus check, did you mail it back, Robert?
No, I kept it.
Robert's
all right,
a baller,
then.
Man. Robert's
don't,
a baller,
don't be
son.
Proud.
He doesn't need that check.
His
lady's bringing him checks, son.
Yeah. By the way, I want to compliment you guys on an outstanding show last week. Two wonderful guests.
Thank you, Robert.
And they were wonderful to listen to. As far as yesterday's fight, I love Jamal James, man. I thought he did very good. But I'm concerned. I don't know. Look, he's a top-notch fighter. He's very good. He's a friend of the show. We had a wonderful interview with him. But I don't know if he's ready for the top-notch 147 guys. I don't know if he's ready for a Porter. I don't know if he's ready for either one of the Garcias. I'm trying to figure out who in the world could he fight because
friend of the show, Robert. Show him some respect.
I'm trying to be real here. 147 is stacked. So who can Jamal James fight to earn the status of getting the attention of one of these big guys?
I think he can fight Sean Porter.
It's a tough fight for him, though.
Sean Porter's a tough fight for everybody.
Well, and that brings
Sean
up
Porter's
another
a tough
point.
Fight for everybody.
That brings up another point, Eric. Did you see Fox's upcoming schedule? They have Porter in against a guy I've never heard of in 2 weeks. Why would you put him in against somebody that nobody's heard of? Shouldn't he be
fighting?
We'll
comment on that in a little bit. Yeah, that's in our news. But I tell you what, man, that Fox, I saw that Fox card that's coming out.
Yeah.
It's atrocious. It's terrible, man.
Yeah. And this brings
I think all these promoters are struggling. I think all these promoters are struggling with the COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do want to congratulate Al Haymon and PBC for putting on a decent card yesterday. I have no complaints with what I saw yesterday. And
good card.
Yeah, very good card.
What do you think about Vito Malecki?
I'd like to see more, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He's only 18, too. He's 6-0.
Yeah. I'd like to see more.
I like the development. I really do.
Yeah, and I don't want them to rush him. You know, I hate it when reporters ask fighters, well, you were successful in this fight. Who would you like to fight next? You've got to know where the kid is at in his career. Don't force him into a position where he's supposed to call out a name. He hasn't earned that privilege yet.
I agree.
You know,
I agree with that.
But I'm also concerned with these pay-per-views coming up. You have the Charlo pay-per-view at the end of September. You have the Lomachenko pay-per-view the first weekend of October. And then
I don't know about that. I'm hearing that that fight may not be going down.
Well, yeah. Steve Beamer
holding out for money.
Hey, I don't blame him. I'd try to get more money out of the deal, too, if I was him. Because I think he's going to walk away with that fight. I think Lopez is going to prove to be the real person in that division.
Robbie's starting to listen to the beep. You know, he's listening to the beep. Ever since he started winning bets because he bets because he's been betting my fighters that I pick, he's been really. That's why he doesn't really need the stimulus check anymore. He's been making money off my picks.
Five dimes
that's
is very
going
good.
On.
What can
Tell
I
the
say?
Truth, Robbie. Tell the truth, Robbie. Tell the truth, Robbie.
What, Robert, you
what
think Kipping was going to beat him?
Yeah, I do.
Robert, I don't know, man.
He's getting visuals off this.
I'll tell you what. You know, I'll tell you, anybody, the fact that he's asking for more money and the fact that he's willing to walk away from that fight just lets me know I don't know that he's 100% confident in that fight.
All right.
I'll take you there. I'm telling you, I don't think he's 100% confident.
Eric, that's like me saying when I ask my boss for a raise, I really don't want to work. Come on, I need
well,
a job.
True, I mean, come on, that's true, B. I mean, everybody knows that.
well, hey, look at the unemployment situation. They cut the unemployment checks from $600 a week to $400 a week. So they're trying
Robbie,
to tell.
I've had people literally say to me, I don't want to go back. I make more now not working. I've had like about three or four people say that to me.
Well, that
so they had to cut that.
That's why they had to cut that because, you know, you actually got to show proof that you're actually trying to get a job if you want to continue to receive the money.
Yeah.
That's why I understood it yesterday or Saturday. I hope I'm right.
Yeah.
You know. But no,
point,
seriously.
Making the first tonight, Robbie. You've been doing your homework.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
good tonight.
I was concerned about the upcoming dates of the pay-per-views because it seems like a lot of them are close together, and I don't know how successful pay-per-views are going to be when they're too close together like that.
Well, you're paying for the Tyson-Jones fight, right?
No.
Come on, Robbie.
He's fighting the Shark
not.
Tonight, Robert. If he beats the Shark tonight, will you watch that fight?
You got to look at this fight tonight with the Shark.
If he has a good showing against the Shark,
you got to buy the pay-per-view.
If he takes the Shark out in one round.
No.
Wow. He's a rough. He's a tough sell, man. He's a tough sell.
No.
He's a tough sell.
The only pay-per-view I was really interested in buying was the Lomachenko-Lopez pay-per-view. I'm really not interested in any of these, but I was concerned about the dates, you know, with them being close together.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I hear
you. You know, because if you're gonna charge, say, $80 a pay-per-view, you know, how are they going to make any money, especially with the pandemic going on and people not working?
What did you think? Did you watch the girl fight yesterday?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't blame him. See, I told you, Beeb. Me and Robert cut from the same cloth, baby. I ain't watching.
Eric. Why are you doing this, Eric? He doesn't have the zone. Stop throwing shade at him because he doesn't have the zone. I know you're taking shots.
Why are you taking shots at him?
He doesn't have the zone.
That's messed up. I forgot about
you know
that. Have the zone.
You know he doesn't have the zone.
I forgot it was on the zone.
Come on. Stop taking shots.
Hey, look, everybody's having...
Even with the stimulus check, you still didn't get it, so it's not going to happen.
No.
Stimulus check. He didn't even cash a stimulus check yet, son.
No, I still have it.
He's saving for a rainy day, son. He's saving for that Lomachenko fight.
He's going to put it on Teofimo.
He's going to put it on Teofimo and ask for another stimulus check when he loses.
Robbie, are you going to buy all these pay-per-views back-to-back?
No, but my point is, Joe, my point is, Joe, how is people going to afford multiple pay-per-views if they're too close together?
I agree with you. I'm asking you if you're going to buy them all.
No, the only one I'm interested in is Teofimo and Lomachenko. I'm not going to buy the rest.
Okay.
You know,
Spence Garcia is on pay-per-view too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's on pay-per-view.
You don't like that fight?
I like the fight, but I think if Errol Spence is the real Errol Spence, he's going to do the same thing to Danny that he did to Mikey.
Yeah, he's murking Danny's son. Yeah.
I don't think Danny matches up well with Errol either.
No, he's way too strong.
No, like Sean Porter said in the interview, and I totally agree with him, we have to see what Errol Spence looks like at the beginning of that fight. If he looks like the truth, then Danny ain't going to – he's not going to go the full distance.
Yeah, I think he's – I think Errol's going to stop Danny late, to be honest with you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
No, he can hit, though. That's the one thing. Danny's got power, man. Danny can put you away. He's got really underrated power.
But he's
a
left hook guy. He's a mid-range hooker.
Hey, Eric, do you remember what he did to Amir Khan? Put him to sleep, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah.
It is.
But Errol Spence is no Amir Khan. He ain't going to make that mistake.
No, no. I don't know, man. It depends. I mean, Spence can be hit. And that's what I saw in that Porter fight. When he got hit that clean, that flush, that many times, that's when I kind of changed my tune on him. And I said, because I had favored him to beat Crawford. But if those two ever fight, I would definitely favor Crawford in that fight.
I really want to see Crawford. If they can make Fury, Wilder 2 and 3, the PBC and Top Rank can make Spence, Crawford 1, 2, and 3, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
All right, Robert. All right, see you later. But that's the fight I really want to see. Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford. I really don't want to see these two in the ring with anybody else until they fight.
All right, man.
Sounds good. All right,
see
Robert.
Later, guys.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right,
bye. Robert.
Oh, that's nice. Georgie Porgy says, Robbie, watch boxing with a MAGA hat on.
That's what we do over here, man.
That's how we work it, man.
How you work it?
That's how we do it here. MAGA. All right, 760. 760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's happening?
Brian!
Brian!
Hey, what's going
Brian!
On? Your boy back in the building. What's going on?
What's going on?
Right quick.
Kelly's in the house. 760 in
what's
your
good?
Area.
What's good? Hey, so Robbie, he ain't cashed his stimulus check because Robbie is a big baller, man. He could say, I need it.
I told you. You guys know Robbie drives a Tesla. You guys don't know that, man. I'm dead for real. I am for real. He drives a Tesla.
Let's be honest. Robbie's mom swiped that stimulus check as soon as it came to the mail. He got that stimulus check.
He had to pay his back rent with that stimulus check.
That's for utilities. That's for utilities and room and board, man.
That stimulus check got the water turned back on.
Okay. Direct TV payments and all that.
Oh, man.
Direct
That's
TV payments.
Hey, so, you know.
You want to each
pick in
this house, you better chip in.
Hey, so, you know, I got to find out what's going on with this whole boxing thing, man. What's official? What's unofficial? I see the title, Wilder versus Fury 3, December, unofficial.
It's insane. It's insane. This COVID thing is killing everything, man. It really is. Yeah.
Now we can hear you. It's loud and clear.
Oh, okay, cool. So they're not going to have the Fury Wilder 3?
Well, if they do, it's gonna be later on because of the crowd and everything like that. I think they want a live gate, and they can't get one. You cannot do it right now.
Yeah,
they're about to cancel college football at the end of next week. They're predicting at the end of next week they're gonna pull the plug on college football for the season.
Damn,
it's crazy.
That's why you know I
and
been
they
pull
it off all sports, son.
Yeah, I've been, like, kind of easing back off of sports because I don't know how serious sports is right now because shit still might cancel. You know what I'm saying? They might cancel these shows.
Yeah.
They, you know, I said it from the beginning. I said I think it ain't going to get back to normal until next year. You know what I'm saying? At this pace that we
have
right
now.
Until
we get a vaccine, it ain't getting back to normal. Until you get a vaccine, it's not getting back to normal.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to pretend. I tried to, you know, I missed boxing last night. I watched the Lakers. You know, my Lakers, they lost last night. But I think it's affecting the Lakers mentally, this whole thing, being out there and being in what they call the bubble. I mean, athletes, I don't think they used to this shit and can get used to it right now. You know what I'm saying? That's why
who's
like,
that guy?
I don't know about sports.
Hey, bro, who's that guy on the Lakers? What's his name? The big guy, the star?
Who? LeBron?
LeBron James, that's it. Do you know where he's from?
Oh, he's from Ohio, man.
That's right, Title Town, son. Respect it.
Right.
Respect
right.
It,
hey,
son. Title Town, baby.
He
hightailed it out of there.
You know how lucky you are, son.
He hightailed it out of there in Turbo.
Title Town, baby.
He hightailed it out of there in Turbo, didn't he?
Not every one of the title, son.
Hey, I got to thank you as an Ohio native, you know, for sending him over here.
That's
LA.
Right.
But I know one thing. He's
we
in Miami
the best
right
over
now.
Here, son.
Hey, but he's in Miami right now or wherever they're at, Orlando, and he's sad. He said he want to get home. Where's home? In California. Come back to California. He's sad. He want to get back here. But, yeah, definitely thank you for giving us LeBron. But as far as
that's
boxing,
right.
Man, so.
We were happy
so,
to do it. We were happy to do it.
Yeah. So, Lomachenko and Lopez, that's still official?
Nope.
Not
Lopez
official.
Holding out for more money, son. Lopez holding out for
man.
More money. He's greedy, son.
He's
imagine if we don't get Wilder Fury 3 and we don't get Lomachenko. What the hell is that going to be all about?
Who cares? Man, who cares, man? We got Mike Tyson and the Shark. And then if Mike Tyson wins tonight, we're going to get Mike Tyson and Roy Jones.
You're right.
What's better
that.
Than that? What's better than
better
that?
Now. There you go, better now.
Perfect.
I don't know, man. That's still not good for the year.
What?
Mike Tyson versus a shark.
That's not good. Come on.
Son. No, that's good.
Come on.
But
are you a
Mike
fan
Tyson
or not?
And Roy Jones? Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, if we waiting on that fight, something wrong with us, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
wrong with
if the Shark wins tonight,
fan.
Is it going to be Roy Jones and the Shark? Will he take Tyson's spot?
It might be. The Shark might be the A side. He wants too much money, though.
If he beats Tyson, he's for sure the A side.
He's the A side.
That's right.
He's the A side. Hey, so we got Spence and Garcia's official, though, right? I guess I'm kind of happy about that one. When is that one?
That's a good one. Oh!
Yeah, that's a good
Jake
one.
Davis versus Leo Santa Cruz.
That's the fight right there.
That's the fight right there.
When's Cheesy fighting again?
that was
a good fight, bro.
But while I was talking about some pay-per-views, who's the pay-per-view fight? All of them, if they happen? Leo Santa Cruz.
All right. Let me interrupt here because we have some breaking news. Breaking news from the Ringside Reporter Studios here. Robert just sent me a text, and it's been in the chat, but if it came from Robert, we know it's official. Robert just texted me. I just got a notification for Bleacher Report. Roy Jones Jr. versus Mike Tyson has been rescheduled from September 12th to November 28th. No explanation has been given.
That's crazy.
See?
Interesting.
That's what I'm saying, man.
You need more time to train, man. They're taking this serious, man. This may not be an exhibition now.
Ringside Reporter breaking news. Would you say it may not be an exhibition?
I mean, this may be a real fight now.
You guys are funny, man. And you know what? You know what the worst part is going to be? I'm going to be the same way because I was dumping all over the Floyd McGregor fight. Remember that? I was dumping all over him and stuff like that. Once me and Beeb saw that first press conference, it was done, man. We were hooked.
No, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm like,
Money belt, son.
I can't wait to see that shit. That's why I said, you know, if we waiting on that, something wrong with us, I guess. You know what I'm saying? We from fanatics.
There's something wrong with me, man. I've been buying all
these. We buy all kind of crazy
stuff.
You should see
Beeb's
cable bill, man.
I'm up to 4 a.m. watching Floyd fight Tension, man. How sick am I?
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, he's got the pay-per-view for Tension. He's got the pay-per-view for Girls Gone Wild. I mean, you know, it's, the sickness rolls deep, son.
Oh, man, he's spending
too
much.
I bought the Avengers Endgame for $20. So I'm an idiot. Look at me.
You bought Endgame for $20?
Yeah, I have it on my...
Chinatown? Where'd you buy Endgame for?
I bought it on the Comcast box. I have it... Now I have it...
Yeah.
But I own it now. I own it. It's a classic. I got it now.
I like the Avengers Endgame.
I could be 70 and I could show my kids this now.
Hey, even movies, you know, movies that ain't even going to drop in the theater right now, man. The virus fucking up the movies and shit, man. I'm waiting on new movies to come out.
Fucking up everything, man.
You're fucking up everything.
Got this governor now saying that he's going to maybe push us back into phase two. I can't deal with this. No more phase two.
Oh, you guys are going back to phase two?
Maybe.
Wow.
Callie's getting that too.
You guys there right now? We going backwards too out here. Yeah, it's going backwards.
Yep.
I'm in phase three, man.
It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
All right, Brian, we're gonna get
man. All right. Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for calling.
All right, Brian.
All right.
Stay strong, brother. Stay strong.
Yeah, for sure, man. He's out there in California, man.
Out there in Cali, baby. He's got to deal with that crazy governor.
Box Talk 88 says UFC's got fire matchups coming up. Stipe versus DC next week. Adesanya Costa in September. Yeah, that's going to be a good one, man. Yeah, they really do. Khabib versus Gaethje in October. That Adesanya Costa fight, man. I'm paying for all of those. I'm watching every single one of them, man. Stipe DC next week, man. That's gonna be the fight right there.
I'm buying that too, man.
That's gonna be too good, man. And that Adesanya Costa fight, that's insane too. Did you hear that they brought back GSP and he might fight what's his face, Khabib, if he gets by Gaethje?
I heard that. Yeah,
crazy. It's crazy, right?
That's a great fight, bro.
It really is.
That's a great fight, bro.
All right, 8:05. You're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Maybe you're not. What's happening, man?
I almost thought they were trying to gank you again, Notch. They were trying to gank you 2 weeks in a row.
They
were trying to gank Notch 2 weeks in a row. You can't play out Nacho 2 weeks in a row, baby.
2 weeks.
Tell them, Nacho.
Come on,
do it. You know what? Listen, I don't want to do it, but you know I'll do it. You know I'll do it. I'll do it.
Get some knowledge.
Wow, Eric. Cold blooded. As far as the fights last night, all the fights were pretty, you know, decent matchups. The only one I had a problem with was the Shaw Juarez fight. Good Lord. I mean, where did they find Shaw at? Because his record was completely deceiving. Man, that guy wanted no part of Juarez yesterday. And that was probably the toughest fight out of all of them to watch. So, you know. It is what it is with that one. Hopefully they get Juarez a better opponent next time. Morrell and Allen, that was pretty ballsy of them to put Morrell in with a 25-fight veteran in his third professional fight. But I was curious to see what Morrell was really like because I read an article, I think it was on Boxing Scene a few days ago, where his manager came out and said that he thought that Morrell was on the level of Carlos Monzon. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, this guy's only fought two professional fights. He can't be that damn good, you know. So I watched the fight last night, and I walked away thinking, the kid's got talent, but this talk of him being as good as an all-time legend, it's like, dude, really?
Carlos,
like, spare.
God.
Yeah, like, spare me. Come on. Like, yeah. He needs a hell of a lot more work, you know. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, he did enough to win the fight last night, but there's no way that guy's ready for a real contender or even a title shot anytime soon. He still needs some more work for sure before he gets in there against somebody who's legit. And with the main event, man, I was kind of disappointed. I really thought Delorme was really going to make James work, but it felt like after about the fourth round, Jamal James, for the most part, took over that fight. And pretty much just dominated where Dillarme had moments, but overall, he still pretty much controlled that fight. And, you know, he was able to win relatively easily. What was funny was that Dillarme kept getting yelled at by Joel Diaz in the corner, and still he wasn't able to respond to anything that Diaz asked him to do. But a lot of that has to go to Jamal James. He was able to stick to the outside, outbox him, not really let him get in. And when he did get in, he was landing some nice rights to Dillarme's head all night. So it was a really good win for James. I know he wins that interim WBA title, but he's not getting a shot at Manny Pacquiao anytime soon. That's for sure. Most likely, I'd like to
know. Did you hear him call out Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah,
did you hear him call Manny
funny.
Pacquiao? After the way he's like, yeah. I'd like a shot at Manny Pacquiao. You ain't getting no shot at Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Most likely, he'll probably get a chance. He'll get
I'll give him a
shot
at my belt. I'll give him a shot at one of those. That's it, though. He ain't getting Pacquiao.
I'd give him a shot of the winner of Ugas Ramos. I'd like to see him to fight the winner of that. Maybe he gets the shot at Ugas again. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fights that they announced, all of them were pretty decent matchups. There's just a couple that I thought were really just kind of whatever. The Lara fight, that fight is just talk about a tune-up. Like, that dude is a tomato can that he's fighting. That guy's a nobody. So that's just a shake off the rust tune-up for Lara. I'm kind of disappointed in Sean Porter getting Formella. I mean, Formella's not on his level. I think he's going to take out Formella
pretty
easily.
That's such a silly
easily.
Fight.
Yeah.
That's such a silly fight. There's no reason he should be fighting that anyway. I don't know if clearly it's a stay busy fight, but come on, man. Aren't you past the level of stay busy fights?
Yeah.
Aren't you
exactly.
past that level?
I would think.
He's been a champion twice now, a couple times now. I mean, son, you're past the level of getting a tune up. And that guy is not your tune up. All right. When you tune up, you're tune up against a top guy. That's not a tune up guy. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not for you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it is. That was kind of, disappointing to see that. But what do you guys think about the Angulo Truex fight?
I don't like any of it. I got to be honest. I mean, we'll go over the schedule later. I'm not real crazy about most of the fights on there. Let's just say that.
Okay.
I'm not real crazy about them. They're not the top-ranked specials. I mean, we've been in the game, you know, like we've been in here long enough now. We should be seeing some fights.
Yeah,
The zone right now got Katie Taylor versus Pearson coming up. They got Dillian White coming up against Povetkin. Anthony Joshua coming up. The zone right now has got the best schedule.
No, PBC still does.
PBC has got the Errol Spence fight. Yeah, PBC has got a good schedule on the
Santa Cruz
on the Showtime. Right. But the zone, as far as like when you go to like, and I don't want to say free because they're not free, you're paying for it. But just stuff you can go watch. The zone's got it. They're beating top rank. That's for sure.
Yeah, they got better non paper. I guess the point is you have to get paper. You have to pay for the pay per view fights.
They got
Their non-pay-per-view fights aren't the greatest, in other words, is what you're trying to say.
Right.
I got you. That's,
the pay-per-view fights are always going to trump anything, you know.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. Notch, did you see the Terry Hopper versus Natasha Jonas fight?
Yeah, I caught a replay of it.
It
was a pretty interesting fight.
Come on,
Eric. How could you not?
I saw it.
Notch, how could you not say that's not the fight of the weekend?
No, I mean, in terms of action, yeah, it was, for sure. It definitely
like
was.
The ladies. He don't like the ladies.
Yeah, he doesn't like the ladies.
Oh,
man.
Come
he
on.
He don't like the ladies either, man. That's not
it's all
that's
good,
not,
man. It's all good.
That's
Let's see.
Why
I can't be the only sexist on the panel.
First, Eric.
All right.
First, Eric throws me under the bus. Now, you, what the hell's going on here, man?
you
call for the year, son.
I'm just disappointed that you weren't hyping up.
From you.
I wanted you to hype that fight up. That was a great fight.
It was a good fight, babe. Yeah, but come on. It wasn't Gotti Ward. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
What?
Come on now.
Gotti Ward, son.
That was
a marinade on that. Let's marinate on that. How Beeb called
Let's
that
relax.
Fight Gotti Ward. Come on, son.
No.
You need to relax.
I said it wasn't Gotti Ward. I said it wasn't.
That's what
get
I said.
Right.
That's what I said. I said Beeb said it was. Beeb said it was.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
Come on, Beeb.
It wasn't.
That was beautiful.
It wasn't
boxing.
Gotti Ward.
You didn't think that was beautiful boxing on the inside? You didn't think that
was
beautiful.
Gotti Ward, son.
It wasn't Gotti Ward. It was a good fight. It was
a
good fight, Beeb, but it wasn't Gotti Ward. Come on now.
He didn't even watch.
No,
he didn't care for that fight. He didn't care for that fight either, son.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give that fight?
He said about a good solid 3.5.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give that fight?
Come on, Eric. Damn, 3.5. Jeez, be at least a little more fair. No, I would say that fight was
at least a 4.
I'd say it's about a 7. I'd say it's a 7. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Wow.
It was good, B.
Nacho said it was a 7. He said it was a 7 on the scale of 50.
Damn, Eric. Wow, you're killing me today, Eric. What's really going on?
Damn, man, what are you talking about?
Good Lord. That was the best fight of the weekend, wasn't it, Nacho? You don't think that was the best fight?
No, it wasn't.
In terms of action, it was. It was, B. But let's not get ahead of ourselves and try to compare it to, like, all-time wars, though, either. Like, a lot of people on Twitter and a lot of people on the internet have been going crazy trying to compare it to some all-time classic wars, and it wasn't on that level. It was a good fight,
but it wasn't no Vasquez Marquez.
I mean, come on. Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves,
Beef. That's like if I ask you if a Lamborghini is a nice car. You know what your response would be?
Sorry.
Yeah, it's a pretty good car for a luxury sports car over $250,000. Yeah, if you want to talk about it, like, well, you want to put it in that
those
class.
Those chicks wore Ferraris.
It's a pretty good car. You ask me if a Lamborghini is a
Ferrari,
son. It's a beautiful car. Nacho's gonna be like, it's a nice car, you know, for an exotic sports car. If you want to, you know, you want to talk about exotic sports cars, it's okay.
Brandy Marksberry, you gave it a 10 too. How about that?
If I gave you a Rolex watch,
She's supporting Beeb. He doesn't care. If I gave you
a presidential Rolex, Nacho, right? Say I gave you a presidential Rolex for your birthday one year, right? And I said, this is a nice watch, huh, Nacho? You like it? Yeah, it's okay. Nacho's just hard to please. He's hard to please.
No, I'm not. I just think
if you gave Nacho a Timex, he would be so grateful and so great. That shows you where that fight's at, son. That just shows you where that fight's at, son.
Come on, Beeb. It was a
he
could have
watched that
fight
in any back alley in California.
Nacho, man, give you a Ferrari Testarossa. Thanks, Beeb, but it's
Nacho's been a better cock.
Thanks, Beeb,
fight
but you know this
that,
is
right?
This isn't really good on gas. I don't know if I you know. Thanks, but no thanks, Beeb.
Hey, Beeb. Nacho's seen better dog fights, son. All right.
Nacho's
a tough critic, man. I got to give it to him.
Tough critic. Not everybody thought, you know.
He's like Siskel and Ebert. Remember how Siskel never liked any movie, but Ebert was always the one that gave it a good review. He's like Ebert. He's like Siskel, giving things a bad review.
Ah, geez.
Wow. He just called you Siskel.
Wow.
That's cold blooded. Which
one
was that?
Damn.
Which one was Siskel?
What's really going on, Beeb?
I don't remember that.
I think Ebert was the heavier guy. Siskel was
so you don't even know. You just call him out like that. That's cold blooded.
Siskel was the bald one with the he's kind of small.
Wow, that's even worse, man. That's even worse. Steve's just laying
man,
in the woods.
Beeb is just dragging me all over the coals this week.
I know. I'm giving you the
Beeb
benefit of the doubt, Nacho. And
what
Beeb
did I do to you,
crazy,
Beeb?
Man.
Good Lord.
Hey, he's caller of the year. Show him some respect, Beeb.
I know he's caller of the year.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Jeez. All right, guys. Like, I know you guys got some other people calling in, so I'll let you get back to the phones.
All right, Notch, you gotta start supporting.
All right,
women.
Guys. Yeah. All right.
Oh my goodness, Beeb! Insane.
Hey, listen, I've been interviewing a lot of female fighters.
On Tinder. Right? I mean, what are you?
I'm trying to support female boxing. It's keeping boxing alive right now under these pandemic conditions.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
I'm telling you.
I do. That's what I think.
I'm telling you.
I'm probably sleeping on the couch tonight. I don't think there's any question about that.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Hi, Georgie.
What's up, buddy? Live from Rutgers, Georgia.
What's happening, people?
What up, baby? What's up, baby?
Listen, baby, I love you guys. I will always, always love
you.
You guys show me mad
love.
Georgie,
I love you too.
And therefore,
I've got mad love for you, Georgie.
Thank you for letting me know.
I love you too.
I
want to
see other people. I do. I want to see other people.
Almost as much as I love Robbie.
Yeah.
Robbie only loves the brown sugar. That's what Robbie loves. Listen.
That's where his money is. That's where his stimulus went.
Tell him I call him back. 20 minutes. Listen.
Yeah, tell him to call him back. He's on the line with somebody cool.
On the line with Ringside Reporter. Everything
Hello?
Else is not wrong.
I'm on the line with
famous,
the Ringside
son.
Reporter giving love, baby. So how could you stop this?
That was the guy. That was the guy in back of Georgie waiting to make a call.
I don't care who. What bill collector that was. He can wait.
Tell Jason that he can wait. Tell him that he can wait. He can clean my car later. Listen. The reason I'm talking about love is because you guys got to be safe. Like the guitar. I remember the time I was telling you about the whole corona. You guys must be safe. You guys good people and must be safe. So I got to go back when I told you guys. Yo, listen for a little while because I'm not going to last you forever. Like I told you about the coronavirus before and you guys fucking make. Yo, listen, please. Like I told you about the coronavirus and you guys made fun of me. They didn't believe that or the third. There's going to be a blackout. Well, you motherfuckers watching all these fucking. You guys noticed that Putin, the president of the United States, said that there's fucking many middlemen in the pharmaceutical industry that he don't even know who the fuck these people are, that he may be gone for a little bit. And here you are talking about these boxing shit. Nigga, you don't even got two more money on your hand.
Boxing show. It's on CNN.
It's a boxing show, yeah. What do you
what
want
to talk
about?
To do?
Yeah, Georgie, I mean, come on.
I just let you. I just want to let you
like
guys.
We don't watch the news.
I understand
this.
This
is Fox
Sunday
with Chris Wallace?
Yeah. Let's meet the press over here all of a sudden. Huh?
In order for you to enjoy boxing, you must be alive. So therefore, we must talk about this shit, baby. You cannot enjoy boxing from fucking heaven or hell, whatever the fuck you ended up at. So anyway, there's going to be some fucking blackout.
Yeah, you can.
Baby, let me save you, G. Let me save you. Listen, there's going to be some blackouts pretty soon. The 18th.
What are you talking about?
What the fuck is he talking about?
I don't know.
Listen, please. I'm trying to help you for the last fucking time. On the 18th. Oh, my God. On the 18th, something's going to happen. Mark my words. I'm going to put myself here like a stupid motherfucker once again for you guys. For you.
We appreciate it.
Something's
going to
happen
that.
On the 18th, and stay the fuck home. Don't go nowhere. Now, that's all I got to say to save you. Now, we go to boxing. Is
the
Teofimo shit not... Listen, is the Teofimo shit not going to happen with Lomachenko? The 18th, yeah.
Did you say
18
August 18th,
out.
Something's going to happen?
Something's going to happen.
Can you make heads or tails of this?
Let's take a vacation day that day, I guess, right? Can't leave the bedroom.
Maybe do what you want.
Something's bad's not going to happen if
you
don't leave the bedroom.
Can't control your destiny, baby. That's on you. Anyway, so if the Teofimo Lomachenko shit not going to happen, right? I want the fucking bed.
I don't think so.
Okay, so I want the bed with the tank and Leo. I want the bed with the tank and Leo situation. I'm picking tank. My stoppage.
I'll take Leo.
So what's good? So it's official.
I'll do a pie bet with you on that one. I'll take
it. Yeah, we'll do a pie bet.
We put in the ringside reporter title on the line. Let's get that straight, if you please.
I'll put the belt. That's my belt. That's in my office.
I have the title.
Yeah, but I've got the belt.
He's got the title.
Those
are commemorative
belts.
Commemorative
belts.
I've got the money belt over here.
That's a commemorative.
Eric, you watched out already, baby. You already have many shots. My turn.
I have the official title in the briefcase.
The briefcase.
Okay, it only comes out during title matches.
And even then, you know. Maybe
just so
not.
You know, Lois cleans it weekly for me.
That she does.
Well, guys, I don't have a lot to say. Everybody out there, I send you my blessings. Sending my blessings to the UK, the whole world. Be safe, and the storming right. Sea.
Call me on August 18th.
See you guys later.
Check up on me. All right, Georgie.
All right, Georgie.
Thank you, brother.
What is August 18th?
I have no idea. I'm going to have to Google it.
What's going on, August? Does anybody know what's going on? Because I couldn't understand Georgie's mangled call. Can anybody tell me what was going on August 18th? Anyone? Anyone?
I don't know.
I don't know. I will give Georgie credit. I will give Georgie credit because Georgie is the first one that told us about the coronavirus and to be worried about it. And we laughed at him like a child. Turns out he was right. I don't know.
Excuse me.
God bless you, Beeb.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see here. The upcoming schedule, Beeb. What's going on here? The upcoming schedule. Let me find it. There it is. Somewhere. We are so disorganized. I should say I'm so disorganized for the show. All right. August 12th, Wednesday, from Yorkshire, England, on ESPN+. Beeb, Joan O'Carroll versus Maxie Hughes, 10 rounds lightweights. Sean McComb versus Sayar Ozgul, to be announced junior welterweights. Not exactly a stellar card there, huh?
No.
That's got to be the MG, the Mac the Knife card, the MTK or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. August 14th, on Friday, from Essex, England, on Sky Sports and DAZN, Felix Cash versus Jason Wellborn, 12 rounds for Cash's Commonwealth middleweight title. Zelfa Barrett versus Eric Donovan, 12 rounds junior lightweights. From Telemundo, on August 14th, on Friday, Ricardo Espinoza-Franco versus Brandon Valdez, 10 rounds junior featherweights. Saturday, August 15th, on ESPN, ESPN+, our boy Carl Frampton, the Jackal, versus Varam Vardanyan, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. Michael Conlan versus Sofyan Tekucht, I don't know. 10 rounds, featherweights. So Michael Conlan on that card also. August 15th, Saturday, from Uncasville, Connecticut, on Showtime, David Benavides versus Romer Alexis Angulo, 12 rounds for Benavides' super middleweight title. Listen, anytime Benavides is fighting, I always like to watch him. He is.
I like Benavides.
He's good. He's really good. Solid
he's
fighter.
He's my favorite fighter in that division.
Yeah, I think so. I think he might be the best one.
Yeah.
He's solid. Rolando Romero also on the undercard versus Jackson Martinez for the vacant WBA interim lightweight title. Otto Wallen versus Travis Kaufman, 10 rounds heavyweights. Is it bad I'm interested in that fight?
Oh.
I'm interested in that fight. That's not a bad fight, right?
Not a bad fight.
No, I don't think it's a bad fight at all. Mm-hmm. Saturday, also, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, on DAZN. This from Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is an odd fight to put in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but whatever. Cecilia Breakhews versus Jessica McCaskill for Breakhews' WBA, WBC, WBO, and IBF welterweight titles, the alphabet soup bead. She's the best fighter in the world right now, right? Wow. You're such a sexist.
I would say based on accomplishments, yes.
Yes. Undisputed. Undisputed. Undefeated, undisputed.
Yeah.
Can't complain about that. Israel Madirmov versus Eric Walker, 12 rounds junior middleweights. So that card is not exactly what I would call stacked. And that's it for this weekend. Some good fights. I mean, you know. I'm very much looking forward to the David Benavides fight. Yeah, we got some good fights, man. All right, Kevin from Chicago, we'll get to you in just a second here. He's on hold. All right, let's talk about this. So the news and rumors here, Fury and Wilder 3 may be pushed back to February 2021. D-Style, thank you so much. He said Benavides via destruction. I agree. Beeb, let's talk about this for a minute. So Bob Arum has came out and said basically that if they can't put a crowd together for this fight ain't going on. I mean, you know, so they're going to push it back to 2021. So I guess, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know, like, what are your thoughts on this? Listen, the big news going around, and it's a rumor, but it's big news, and a lot of people are saying it, is that football, college football, is going to be canceled. So given that fact, you're not – and I know they want to have it at Raiders Stadium and everything in Las Vegas. Listen, son, you ain't going to have a full house there. You're just not. Not in December. Not this early. You know, you can push it back till February. How do you know it's going to be done then? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Listen, you got to resign yourself to the fact, either accept it and move on, or have the fight and they take pay cuts, whatever. Neither fighter wants to take a pay cut. Listen, you know what? I don't blame them. But you know what? You got to work too. So, you know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, Beeb?
I think the big problem is that Bob and Top Rank anticipated that we'd be farther along in dealing with this virus. But now even in Vegas, things are getting a little bad. And they're talking about starting to shut things down again in Vegas. So there's no way that they're going to allow live crowds. They were hoping and anticipating that maybe and by December that we'd be able to have live crowds in Vegas, but that's not the case.
No.
Now things are being stagnated even there. So I just think that when the fight was announced, you know, everyone was optimistic that we'd be farther along than we are right now.
Right.
But we haven't made much progress. So we don't even know if this fight could happen in February because they may have to postpone it again after that. You know, the thing is, Joshua's fighting Pulev, and I think they're fighting in Eddie Hearn's backyard or whatever.
Right.
So here's the thing. They're not going to have a live crowd, so they're going to obviously have to adjust what they're making. At some point, if you're Fury, you have to say to yourself, let me just get this fight out of the way so I can look forward to that mega fight with Joshua. You know, but then again, Wilder could be saying to himself, well, you know what, this could potentially be my last fight. I might as well get paid for this win, lose, or draw, because this, again, I could retire after this fight, so I might as well set myself up to the best of my ability and make the most amount of money that I can. So a lot of different ways of thinking about this, but at some point you got to get this fight out of the way, because how long will this rematch clause hold up? There's got to be some type of time period on it, I would assume. Usually that there is when you have rematch clauses in contracts. There's a statute of limitations on the thing, you know?
Yeah, but this is kind of like this is a different animal here. I mean, this is kind of like an act of God. I mean, you can't really like Smitty. By the way, Smitty, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. This is kind of like an act of God. I mean, this isn't like this isn't like contractual binding for 6 months when you can't have a fight.
Well, here's the thing, though. The counter argument to that is other fights are happening. Joshua is going to be defending his titles.
Wonder how much money he's getting. He's got to be getting a lot less, no?
Probably. But again,
he's, right?
But he's thinking, this is what Joshua's doing, and this is just pure speculation on my part. He's thinking, let me get this mandatory out of the way so it clears the way for my big money fights down the road.
Yeah. He's thinking long term. He's smart.
He's thinking long term. So if I'm Fury, I'm thinking the same thing, because live crowd or no live crowd, if Fury fights Joshua, somebody's going to pay big money to be able to stage that event with the crowd or not. And the pay-per-views on that on both sides of the pond are going to be off the charts.
Yeah.
So I understand, you know, a $17 million live gate, that's a lot of money to lose. There's no question about that. But, you know, thinking long term, you got to get these fights out of the way so you can make way for the – because there's bigger fights out there down the road. And the longer you procrastinate getting this fight, you know, out of the way, you got Dillian White waiting in the wings.
How much was the gate? How much was the gate, Beeb? For, was it $17 million for Fury?
Bob said the gate was $17
million.
Now think about that. Joshua versus Klitschko in a 90,000-seat stadium. The live gate for that was $12
million. Yeah.
With 90,000 people. Think of that. Doing $17 million with probably 20% of that.
Yeah.
That's incredible, right?
Right.
So I get it. But at the end of the day, like I said, get these fights out of the way so you can pave the way for the even bigger fights that lie ahead with Joshua and what have you.
You know, so everybody likes to dump on Floyd Mayweather. The problem, you know, like, but everybody dumps on Floyd Mayweather. But Floyd Mayweather went and fought Oscar De La Hoya at, what, an 80-20 split or something, just something absurd. I don't know what the split was, but it was like that. It was absurd. And he won. He bet on himself and he won. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to take that pay cut in order to see the bigger picture. You know what I mean?
Well, not only that. How long do you, as a fighter, do you want to stay inactive?
It's the other thing, too. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know, I at what point do the sanctioning body step in and say, hey, listen, these fights got to happen? I think that's my thing. At what point do they step in and say, this has got to happen? Got to do this.
Yeah.
So, And that's the thing. And, I mean, you know, we're going to piggyback off this with our next one here and talk about this Fox Sports schedule. This is not the best schedule I've ever seen, put it that way. You got to look at it and say, okay, well, they can't make any big fights because there's no crowd. Well, listen, guys, there's not going to be a big crowd for a while. So we got to get over that. You know, you got to figure out a way to do UFC, those fights, Adesanya Costa, Stipe versus DC, Khabib versus Gaethje, those are all mega fights. Mega fights. And they're still putting them on. You got to figure this out. They figured it out. And you can talk about UFC pay and everything, all that. Hey, listen, it is what it is, you know? All right, let's go ahead and let's see if we can bring Kevin on the line. 773, you're live.
All right, I didn't get to talk about Paulie Malignaggi last week, so I'm calling to talk about it. Paulie Malignaggi, nothing he said was incorrect or false. Certainly some opinions, but nothing he said was wrong. And I heard someone say, oh, it's insensitive or it's controversial because we're getting fed these eternal victim narratives. Every single narrative is about eternal victim status, and you go away from that narrative, and all of a sudden it's controversial and insensitive. If Andre Ward was pushing Black Lives Matter and he's saying, oh, black people are oppressed and this and that, would anybody have a problem with it? Of course not. Everybody would go right along with it and say, oh, he's great for standing up for social justice and this and that. But the opposite of that, the conservative point of view, Paulie Malignaggi saying that whole narrative is wrong. What do you think? Systematic racism and oppression in the United States, that doesn't exist. And I'll tell you one reason why it doesn't exist. If this country is so bad, white supremacist nation, United States, why are there millions of brown people risking their life to get in this country? It was so racist. It was so bad. Why are they risking their lives to get into this country? Can you answer that?
Maybe because the place they're coming from is a lot worse.
So it don't seem too bad then. It seems like it's actually pretty fair and balanced if they don't want to, if they're trying to escape their homeland and come to a country that is better.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen, like, I don't know, like Peru or Venezuela or something like that?
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot better here, no?
Shows how good we got it here and how ungrateful a lot of these eternal victims are with their oppression Olympics and their little victim status narratives they like to push. When you go up the statistics, their entire narrative shatters. You don't want to talk about statistics or crime statistics, this and that. It's just black people are victims and white people are oppressors, and that's it. That's the most you can talk about it. But when you go off statistics, their entire narrative shatters, and that's just facts. You can look up crime statistics, FBI, government statistics, and it doesn't look good in a certain narrative. But Pauly Malignaggi, what he said, he's the best announcer in the game by far. He breaks it down the best. He calls it out. Even going against Deontay Wilder, when 99% of the people would have went along and said how great he is and biggest power in the history of the sport. And no, he didn't do that. He said he's flawed, very flawed, and Tyson Fury exposed him. And he had the balls to say that when everybody else is buying the Kool-Aid. So Pauly Malignaggi, just another victim of the cancel culture for speaking out against these communist left-wing nutjobs. And for people to sit there and say, oh, it was insensitive and controversial, nothing about it was insensitive or controversial. I even heard Michael Montero say something. Oh, he called Eastern Europeans the species, the dominant species. Oh, you can't say species. Like, really? You don't know what the fuck he meant by that? Clear as day. You think he's trying to compare them to another species? What, they're not human? It's just, I guess people call people beasts. When you call someone a beast, what do you mean, they're not human? It's just ridiculous, the amount of shit I hear from even someone like Michael Montero, who usually is pretty common sense about it, and even him saying something like that is just ridiculous. And this is the world.
Do you agree that
Paulie
could have maybe chose his words a little bit better?
No, I actually don't. I think I watched that interview and everything he said was spot on. I think everything he said was spot on and correct. It's just when you spit it so common sense and clear, it sounds controversial. When someone says the United States military is not protecting our freedom by bombing Iraq and bombing Afghanistan, people will say, oh my gosh, you're disrespecting the military. How could you say that? Like it's like that emotion. They don't know how to react because they've just been programmed to think this way.
Hey, Beeb, hang on one second, Kevin. Hey, Beeb. So you did a show on this earlier about Pauly Malignaggi earlier in the week. Great show, by the way. But you talked about Stephen Espinoza, and this was not just for one interview. This was a multiple thing.
A lot of people at Showtime had to constantly like defend it. Like, for instance, here's one thing he did. Remember that McGregor Mayweather weigh-in? And after that, he actually spit at a fan.
That's not good. Can't do that.
You know, when you're working, you can't interact with fans and getting confrontations with fans, and you know, and that whole the whole thing with that Jessica situation, that was totally unprofessional too. You're sitting there talking about a woman, calling her a side piece, calling her all types of derogatory names. But if she was so bad, then why is it bothering you so much that someone's talking about her? Like, if she was all those things, then why even get upset when someone talks about it? Just be like, yeah, that was old news. Yeah, whatever. If you have her, you can have her. That's fine. Like, obviously he had some type of feelings for the girl, but now maybe he's not with her. He's, you know, he was trying to say derogatory things about her, and it was just totally, it was tasteless, to be honest with you. Hearing him talk like that about a woman that he used to date, and just because he's not with her anymore, all of a sudden she's, you know, this, that, and the third. I just think he needs to control his emotions a little bit better. And obviously, you know, everyone says you could say whatever you want. Oh, I'm keeping it real. Okay, you can say whatever you want. You can keep it real. But again,
there's consequences.
You can't tell other people what they can be offended by. And as you said, 100%, there's consequences to what you say. So for everything you do, you're going to elicit a response from everybody. Be that as it may, how different each response will be, you're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because if you say something, for instance, I'm sitting here and I go and I'm tapping this like this, and this irritates you. And you tell me, Beeb, that irritates me. Can you stop? I stop. Do I have to keep doing that? No, I could stop doing that, and I'll be just fine. So what makes Pauly Malignaggi an authority on systemic racism? Like, how much research has he really done on it? Like, okay, you can look at statistics, and you can pull up numbers or whatever, but to sit there and just say that it never existed or it doesn't exist at all, it's totally false. Like,
and it's a very insensitive thing to say as well.
It's insensitive because if someone is a victim of that, like, for instance, when you say, oh, not that many rapes happen in America, only a few rapes a year happen in America. But if someone is actually one of the victims that got raped, obviously they're going to be offended by that.
Right.
So same thing, like, with police brutality, whatever. Okay, you can pull the numbers up. That's fine. But just because something is not on a bigger scale as you may think it is or the statistics say, just doesn't mean that you just totally ignore that it happens. Okay, so.
And, you know, bottom line is Pauly's a public figure, and he represents the company. Like it or not, that's his job. Sky Sports, Showtime, he's a representative because he's out there on camera. That's what he does for his job. So he can tweet out and he can say whatever it is he wants, but there will always be consequences when you start saying things that are, you know, insensitive, you know, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's the way it is, man.
Well, listen to this. Tank Davis, he represents his company. Shakur Stevenson, who else was in that incident? Tank Davis.
Yeah. Now, listen,
they all represent
it depends
their company
on what company you're with,
now,
right?
They not only said something, they acted. They committed a crime. And
I agree.
They're not held to the same standard. They're not held to the same standard.
They're not held to the same standard because they're not with the
not
same
make their company.
Company
look bad? Does that not
it
make their
that's,
company look bad?
That's, it does, but that's their company, and that's what they chose to do with it. Showtime is its company.
Yep.
And that's what he
and
chose.
Pauly,
that's what they chose to do.
Called out the double standard, and Pauly called out the double standard, and he's 100% correct
and
on it.
Now he's got
no,
now he's got
no
job. So who's winning?
No one can argue
can you
that.
Really compare
the double
with
standard.
A can you really compare what a fighter does to what an announcer does to what an analyst does? Because the fighter doesn't work.
They're both
the fighter
fighters.
Doesn't
they're both
work.
Fighters.
The fighter doesn't work. The fighter does not work as an independent contractor.
Yep.
And the network works with the promoter.
Right.
And the promoter provides the fighters. Pauly was a direct employee of the network. Tank Davis is not a direct employee of Fox. He's not a direct employee of Showtime. He could fight on the Disney Channel if he wants, if his promoter works a deal out with the Disney Channel. Now, his promoter and his advisor.
They can cancel their contract. They can cancel their contract because
why?
They're signed
no,
to their company.
No, they cannot. The promoter has a contract with the fighter. The fighter does not have a direct contract with the network. Now, Canelo has a direct contract
with
the Zone. That's a different story. But Tank Davis does not have a contract with Showtime, does not have a contract with Fox. He does not work for either network. He works for his
– But the network can choose not to sign them, not to broadcast them, not to promote them, not to have them on their network. The network can choose which fighter they want on their network.
Okay.
The network can choose which fighters they want on their network.
Correct.
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 And
correct.
So it's a double standard because Pauly Malignaggi said those things as a fighter, he would probably be taken off the network. He probably wouldn't be getting
well,
the same contract.
Look at all the controversial things. Look at all the controversial things Pauly said when he was a fighter.
When he was with Adrian Bronner, I remember that fight with Adrian Bronner,
and
we referenced it before. But
he fought after he fought Juan Diaz. He said that boxing was crooked. He said that the judges are crooked. Said the fights are fixed. He said all those crazy things, and he still got fights.
Yeah.
Because if the fighter is not going to be judged the same.
They say that all the time. They say that all the time. The judges are
He basically accused the judges and the promoter of fixing the fight.
It's not apples and apples.
And they gave him a rematch.
The fighters and the announcers, it's not apples to apples.
So let me ask you this. Would you do business with someone who called you a liar and a cheater? Or would you just cut ties with them? They stayed with Paulie. They gave him a rematch after that. They gave him a contract.
Well, would you do
after Paulie? Wait, let me finish.
Hang on, Kevin.
After Paulie accused Al Haymon of influencing the judges and fixing the fights, not in so many words, what did Al Haymon do? Gave him a fucking contract.
Yeah.
Became his advisor.
He's had a lot of chances.
He's had a lot of chances. Like you can't judge.
This is it,
you can't compare what a fighter does to what an announcer does. And an announcer is held to a much higher standard because it's his job to talk. It's not a fighter's job to talk. It's a fighter's job to fight.
Yeah.
He gets paid to fight. A commentator gets paid to talk. And he gets paid to talk eloquently and intelligently and insightfully. So you're comparing apples to oranges.
Correct.
It's a false equivalency. And you have to see
nothing
that.
Nothing he said deserved to get fired. Nothing he said deserved
to get fired. In your opinion,
nothing you said was offensive.
You don't have the right.
Of course it's my opinion.
I don't have the right.
Nobody has the right.
You don't have the right to tell people what they can be offended by.
Right.
Sometimes people walk by me and don't say hi to me. Sometimes people that I know will walk by to me and not say hi to me. And that bothers me and it affects me. Someone may do that to you and it may not bother you and you don't care.
Right.
Everyone's different. You don't have a right to tell people what to be offended by. And he didn't get fired for that one incident. He was spitting on fans while he was working. While he was working, he spit on a fan. Can you spit on someone at your job?
Is there video evidence of that?
Yes.
Video of that?
Yes.
Of him spitting on the fan?
Yes. Yes. Don't tell me you play the cognitive dissonance game too, bro. Come on.
I didn't see anything.
If you read Espinosa, this was one of the things that happened.
Kevin, it happened. Kevin. It's on YouTube.
Hold on.
I got you. He's been on the fan. Yeah.
Now you're backpedaling. It's okay. You're up against the heavy hitters.
Yeah, it's quite all right. A lot of people went down with us.
Fucking happened.
Do you think Shakur Stevenson should lose his contract with his promoter for what he did?
100%.
100%.
Listen, I said that. When it happened, what he did was appalling. It really was. To go over there and hit that guy, and it was two of them. And it was three girls or something like that, and one guy, him and his boy beat him up. It should have never happened. And, yes, he should have been dropped right there. But it's not my call. It's not Beeb's call. It is Aaron's call.
But now you're playing the game like – you're doing the same thing Jason does.
Yes.
Inappropriate behavior
is
inappropriate behavior.
That's what Paulie was talking about.
Let me ask you this. 10 people speed. They're going 150 miles an hour. Not everybody gets caught. Not everyone gets caught. But if you get caught, then you have to pay the fine. And
correct.
You get the repercussions.
You can't
say,
well, what about everybody else that's going fast?
I'm going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. If I was the promoter of Shakur Stevenson and he's out there punching people and roughing up girls and stuff and it's on camera, I'm canceling my contract with the dude.
You know, but that being said,
that's me.
Shakur Stevenson is making millions and millions of dollars. He's going to make millions of dollars, and they're investing in him, okay? Now, Paulie Malignaggi, if we want to play the whataboutism game, Paulie Malignaggi, listen, Shapiro's going to draw Top Rank a lot of water. Paulie Malignaggi is not drawing him anything.
Well, let's take it a step further. There was a pattern of behavior with Paulie Malignaggi.
Sure.
What else did Shakur Stevenson? That was one incident from Shakur Stevenson. Paulie Malignaggi had a pattern of behavior. They were saying over at Showtime, the people that worked there, that they had to constantly defend him for his inappropriate behavior, and they were always put on the spot. Shakur Stevenson's a young kid. Paulie Malignaggi is a 36-year-old man. You're comparing a 36-year-old man to a 21-year-old kid. Now, if Shakur Stevenson had a pattern of behavior and he was 36 years old doing that, like Adrian Broner, for instance, who has a pattern of doing stupid things, that's a different story. Now, I still would have probably cut Shakur loose, but if I see the other side of it.
It's a lot of money. It's about making money.
But not only that, the kid's 21 years old. It's one incident. Paulie had again, apples to oranges.
Yes,
Paulie had a pattern of behavior, and Paulie is a 36-year-old adult, and he's crying about friggin' side pieces.
Right.
And he's spitting at people. When you're 36 years old, you don't spit at people in crowds anymore. Right. That's shit you do when you're 21. So I'm not absolving Shakur Stevenson or excusing his behavior, but it's apples to oranges. Now, I don't like the fact that he did that. And if you want, but that's one incident. Paulie, as I said, pattern of incidents, plus he's 36 years old.
Yeah,
so
big difference.
Story.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, but
and again, Kevin, you have a right to your opinion.
For that.
You have a right to your opinion.
You want
to
know, we got
but you
fired
have to understand
for
the other side.
He got fired for his comments regarding – he got fired for his race comments. That was it.
That's not what Stephen
That's not accurate, Kevin. That's my opinion. What's your opinion?
If
you're
going to listen to Espinosa, you're going to listen to Espinosa. You believe that guy?
He's part of the show, Kevin.
Kevin, to be fair, those comments did have an impact on him getting fired, without question.
Sure.
But again, it was the last straw.
Yeah. No question.
Can you see that? Can you see that, though? Can you see there was a pattern? Can you acknowledge, though, that there was a pattern of behavior that they did not like from him? Can you acknowledge that?
Yeah, the pattern of behavior was he called out Deontay Wilder for being the overrated bum that he is. That's what's the big.
He's not
going to.
That
was
a
huge factor.
Kevin, do you?
Being on some fan that was talking shit about him,
you
don't care about that.
Do you honestly
think they care about him sitting on a fan from Conor McGregor's situation?
Kevin,
do you honestly think they care about that?
Kevin,
do you honestly think they care about some situation with Conor McGregor and a fan?
Kevin, do you think it's okay?
No, you don't
you
let
think
me get my point
okay?
across.
Do you think it's okay that he spit on someone while he was working? Do you agree with that, yes or no?
Yes, I do. He should have knocked him out. He should have knocked the fan out because he talking shit about the Conor McGregor situation. It was some Conor McGregor groupie. It was some Conor McGregor groupie. He came up to him and talked, Conor McGregor knocked you out.
Kevin,
clearly he knocked him out. Right.
Clearly, you've chosen a side. There's no turning back.
Conor McGregor groupie. That's. Oh man, you guys keep interrupting me every time I try to make a point. You're laughing and giggling. You know who's
Kevin,
on? Do you want to know that situation?
I like you.
There he goes, interrupting me. Come on, real quick. Let me talk about this Conor McGregor situation, then I'll hang up. Real quick. It'll
what Conor McGregor situation?
I promise.
Go ahead. Go.
30 seconds.
I
gotta
fucking hear this.
Because you keep interrupting me.
I gotta fucking hear this one. This one's going to go into the archives.
Listen, this is what it was. That situation, I remember it now that you tell me. It was about the Conor McGregor thing. Right after the whole sparring situation, all the McGregor groupies, the McGregor fandom is like anything you've ever heard, anything you've ever seen. Those are the people saying he's going to knock out Floyd Mayweather, who thinks he's the best striker in all of combat sports. They're a bunch of nobody fans who know nothing about combat sports. And so when they heard that Paulie Malignaggi was going against their idol, their god, Conor McGregor, they came out of the woodworks and they harass him on the street. They say, he knocked you out in sparring, and they'll harass him and this and that. So for him to spit on a fan that got in his face talking trash, they're lucky that's all they got. They're lucky that's the only thing they got, because Pauly Malignaggi could have put him in the hospital, could have put him in a coma if he wanted to.
Point taken, Kevin. All right, man.
Kevin, I got one last question. I got
one last question from the Beeb.
One last question. How old are you, Kevin?
22.
Okay.
That explains it.
That explains it. Okay.
All right, Kevin. We're going to get running, man. Thank you so much. A lot of people don't like Kevin in the chat. I love him.
I'm not really religious. I'm not really religious, and I don't even – and I'm agnostic.